You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
It's Cincata and Angle on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Here are your hosts, Tony Cincata and Scott Angle.
Good morning. Welcome to Cincata and Angle right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Last night, not a lot of action in Major League Baseball, but it was a night where you could celebrate the double dong. That's right, the double dong with Gary Sanchez and Cole Calhoun going deep twice in the same night. King, it was special.
Yes, that's a positive spin on it, Tony. Good morning. But, I'm going to be afraid to talk about any players I have on my teams because yesterday we both talked up Marco Estrada and Eduardo Rodriguez, and I have them on two of my teams, and they got bombed.
Hey, it happens. You get 32 starts. If you get an elite pitcher, right, they're going to have four terrible performances a year. And those guys, I wouldn't say elite. So it's going to happen.
Yeah, well, it was the first time this year for Eduardo Rodriguez to get bombed. He actually slipped in the bullpen before the game, and they were concerned about
that
him.
Was, yeah.
And he went out and allowed four homers yesterday where he allowed only five all year. As for Estrada, like, you know, that was his second blow-up this month. You know, this guy's prone to, you know, once in a while getting bombed.
Yeah, well, the Rodriguez thing was strange because I watched the game, right? And in the first inning, after he was walking around, and they're watching him walk around, and everybody knows there's something wrong with him, and they don't know if he should go back out there. And yet, they put him back out there. Usually on these things, they err on the side of caution.
Yeah, they do. But I guess they spoke to him, and he said he was okay. But, of course, what else is he going to say, right?
Right, that's the whole thing. And the Marco Estrada thing, we've been talking about this thing for years, though. This is a guy that doesn't throw very hard, throws a lot of fly balls. He pitches in a ballpark that's very offensive-oriented, so we've all been waiting for him to get trashed. But this year, he even added a new wrinkle because he started striking people out. Even when he was good the last couple seasons, he wouldn't get the strikeouts. So we don't know what to expect with Mr. Marco Estrada, but I think he made it this far. He's pitching well. I expect that to continue. But there's always that chance when you have those fly ball pitchers that something goes wrong here. But the strikeouts, to me, they negated a lot of the worrisome issues that show up with Marco Estrada.
Yeah, he's got a great changeup. But last night, his pitches had no movement. They were completely flat, and, especially on that second homer to Sanchez.
How do you tell there's no movement?
I could just look at it. It's just like, you know, really? You're watching the game and you see the ball like laid out over the plate, just like, you know, like on a dinner plate, you know, and it's like easy to hit.
Wow. That's amazing to me. You must have better eyes than me.
It's the first time I've heard anybody say that.
It's Cincata and Angle right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We come back, we'll break down last night's action. We'll break down the world. Stay tuned for more Cincata and Angle. Welcome back, Cincata and Angle, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Scotty, last night I didn't watch a single minute of the Cavaliers, and but it wasn't on purpose. It was my intent to watch some of it. But I did the show last night from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, and I wasn't feeling that great after the show, and I fell asleep. I missed it. I missed all the games.
Wow. How you feeling today?
I woke up. I'm feeling all right. I woke up for the end of the Twins game, though.
Right.
So I watched a little of the Twins game at night. So other than that, I missed the whole game. I woke up and the game wasn't over, but it was like a 25-point lead, so I didn't turn it on.
Right. Yeah, well, it was a blowout right from the, you know, third quarter. You know, it was all about Golden State. 13-0 run, and it was really about turnovers last night. You know, Golden State tied an NBA Finals record and a franchise record with only 4 turnovers, and meanwhile, Cleveland turned it over 20 times.
You know what's amazing is I understand why people get old and hate everybody, like guys like Lenny Melnick when they're 70 and they hate everybody. I get it, right? Is that because people have a lack of intelligence, right? So that game couldn't have been over a couple minutes, right? And already people are saying, oh, Kevin Durant's better than LeBron James. Like, everybody's a prisoner of the moment.
Yeah, people definitely tend to become a prisoner of the moment. Like, with the Mr. Met thing, too, it was crazy. Like, everybody's like, Mr. Met got fired because he wasn't at Citi Field yesterday. I'm like, there's 4 people that play Mr. Met. It's a person inside of a suit. It's like, the Mets are not going to do away with Mr. Met.
Maybe they hit him for a day.
Yeah.
To take the heat off.
Yeah, I think I think they may have done that, but everybody's like, Mr. Met got fired. I saw things on Twitter, rest in peace, Mr. Met. I'm like, there's 4 people that play this guy. What are you talking about?
I'll tell you, if they were smart, right, they don't have to get rid of Mr. Met. And the Mets are not. They don't make too many great decisions, it seems, from a front office perspective.
Right.
Maybe they could reinvent Mr. Met, right, and change his costume a little, or right, and then people will buy new Mr. Met stuff. Like, they could profit off this.
I don't think, you know, flipping the bird is something that they want to advertise, though, especially when appeal to kids.
No, that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, you change his costume now. Like, Mr. Met, he's been put away. You put him in timeout, and then you come out with a new Mr. Met costume.
Yeah, there's only one classic Mr. Met look.
Everything,
you know, you do that, now's the opportunity to roll Mrs. Met out there, okay? And let her shine for a little while.
That'll work, too. Yeah. I like that idea. Mrs. Met, yeah. Mike Florio's a Mets fan. How about a Mrs. Met shows up now? Would you like that?
Sure, why not?
Why not, right? Or why don't they go, like, it is 2017. Why couldn't they have Mr. Met and Mr. Met that live together and have a family?
I think they have been family for a while.
They have 2 Mr. Mets?
No, there's 1 Mr. Met and a Mrs. Met. Actually, they brought Mrs. Met back a few years ago.
Yeah, why don't they have 2? Yeah, but why don't they have Mr. Met and Mr. Met? You know, the 2017 of 2 males in love.
Like Bert and Ernie.
Yeah, like Bert and Ernie. Yeah, that's it. They were ahead of their time.
All right. I'm not going down this road. You know, it's like, I've treaded on this road, and, you know, maybe slightly with a joke here and there, but I'm not going down this road.
No, you shouldn't have a joke. I mean, it's not danger. Men love men these days, and it's perfectly acceptable. I'm okay with men loving men.
Okay.
Are you okay, Mike, with men loving men?
Of course.
Mike? Yeah, see, Scott, I don't think it's anything to worry about. I think we should bring it to the ballpark. They could make a statement, and they could make the whole gay and lesbian community feel in love.
Well, the Mets actually do have a gay and lesbian night, you know, at the ballpark.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? I do remember that.
Yeah.
I'm surprised more people don't do that, because, you know what? It's kind of an insult that they have Bark at the Park and not Gay and Lesbian Night.
Oh, they do have both.
No, I know the other teams don't. The Bark at the Park is still the most mystifying thing to me of all time that someone came up with this idea. I would like, we should interview whoever, they should be on the Scott Engel Hall of Fame hour, whoever came up with Bark at the Park.
Nah, I don't know if I want to use my half hour for that.
Out of all the things that baseball's done and all the things that have, you know, been put out in promotions, I'm surprised Bark at the Park is the one that survived.
Yeah, you know, people like to bring their dogs with them around and, you know, have them hang out. I'm not one of those people. I remember I had a coworker at CBS Sportsline, and, you know, he came into his house, and, you know, he laid in his bed, and him and his dog were like tonguing each other, and it like disgusted me. Some people get really close with their dogs, like they kiss them back, like, like, that's disgusting.
The guy was kissing his dog.
Yeah.
With his tongue?
Pretty much, and he was showing off about it.
That's kind of weird. It's probably against laws in some states, too.
Probably.
The Orioles 7, the Red Sox 5 last night. In this game, Scotty talking about Eduardo Rodriguez not getting it done. Wade Miley's a guy that started out the year very well, then hit a bump. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, his ERA is under 3. It's 2.82. A lot of people are afraid to roster Wade Miley. Scotty, what do you do with this guy? I mean, he's an under 3 ERA. Nobody wants to mention the word Wade Miley.
Well, you know what? He's inducing soft contact. He got 11 ground ball outs last night. You know, obviously this guy has found something that worked. A lot of us don't believe it because of the track record. And I don't think in a trade you could probably sell high on the guy. So I think you have to ride with it while, you know, while he continues to pitch well.
Well, forget about a trade. In some ways, he's on the waiver wire.
If he's on the waiver wire, I think you have to give him a crack at this point. Especially if you need the pitching help. I don't believe in him either. A lot of people don't because of the history. But, you know, ride it out while you can. You take advantage of this while you can. It's like we go the other way. You know, you talk about Mikel Franco and Kyle Schwarber and, you know, how panic about them and maybe put them on your bench. And then you'll put them in when they get hot at some point. You know, while these guys that you don't believe in are hot, I think you have to ride with it and take the stats and not play scared and worry about the blow up.
And then, of course, you had a home run the first inning by Mark Trumbo. Chris Davis is actually leading the Baltimore Orioles in hitting against left-handed pitching. And, of course, for all the people out there, Chris Davis is a left-handed batter who struggled through left-handed pitching throughout his career. But he's hitting .366 weight on base average prior to yesterday's game and hit a home run off of Rodriguez in the fourth inning. And then you had Jonathan Scope also go deep in this game as the three Orioles go large. And then Jackie Bradley Jr. hit his seventh home run in this contest. Jackie Bradley Jr. has really picked it up, started off the year really slow.
Yeah, again, you talk about riding with guys while they're hot. Jackie Bradley runs completely hot and cold. Ride with this forever, how long it lasts, and then prepared to bench him in about a month.
You know, it was interesting yesterday. Pablo Sandoval comes off the DL, but the Red Sox decided to stop Marrero at third base, which is, I got to be honest, kind of baffling to me.
Well, it's his first game back. You know, maybe we'll see him more in the lineup over the weekend.
Yeah. I mean, Marrero is hitting .176.
Yeah. I think Sandoval will get back in there. You know, just first game back, so I wouldn't be too concerned about it.
But it's never anyone's first game back because he did have a rehab play. So if he could send him down the minors to play.
It's his first major league game back.
So what do? You sit there and watch the game? I mean, you've already played. Get out there and play.
I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't know his physical condition. Maybe I'll ask Dr. A. He's going to be in studio today on the Roto Experts in the morning. Why did he not play in his first game back?
Dr. A. will be back here with the Roto Experts in the morning. We'll be talking baseball injuries.
We'll be talking football injuries this morning because we already did baseball injuries with him this week. He'll be live in studio today.
Oh, that'll be outstanding programming. Will Jeffrey be there?
Jeffrey is supposed to, has been booked. Yes.
All right. So yeah. Jeffrey and Dr. A today, folks. They bring out all the
Jeff
stops
the skeleton,
today.
Yes.
Clint,
I don't know if his name is Jeffrey. It might just be Jeff.
I listen to the commercial. I know it's Jeffrey.
Oh, the commercial says Jeffrey.
Yeah, told okay. You to listen to the station, Scott.
Look, sometimes, you know, the commercials just become a blur, you know? Although, like, I've memorized Al Melchior's, you know, commercial. Hakuna Matata, no worries. Hakuna Matata, no worries. Hakuna Matata, no worries. No. Of course I listen to the station.
Well, then how do you not know it's Jeffrey?
I forget like one line in a commercial, you know.
It's a very distinctive commercial.
It is, but like, you know, certain, I guess that line went in one ear and out the other. When I hear that commercial, I'm like, that's not Jeff, that's Corey, so I'm not even thinking it's Jeff.
Well, that's why I hear it. Stay tuned for more. For the Cleveland Indians over the Oakland A's, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Welcome back to Cutter and Angle right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Scotty, Dr. A is going to be on today. Roto Experts in the morning. You guys can check it out. 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern. And then, of course, on demand, iTunes, Google Play. So make sure you check it out. Scott, I got some people that told me that you committed a fraud yesterday, and maybe Dr. A was involved in it.
How so?
The Mike Trout injury. Did you discuss this with Dr. A?
No, I didn't.
So you made a trade. You managed the Roto Experts exclusive edge package, yet you want us to believe that you got no inside information from Dr. A?
You calling me a liar?
I'm asking a question. It could just be a yes or no.
I did not get any inside information from Dr. A.
You would tell our listeners, right? You sell the product and you stand behind it.
I was asked this question by the other team on the air before we made the trade. I had no inside information from Dr. A. Dr. A did not say anything until he came on the air the next day, and he didn't give any different timeline than what was reported. So I don't know what people are talking about.
Then Dr. A might be a fraud too, then. I'll have to confront him. Here's the thing.
I don't understand any of this. This seems like a waste of time.
It seems like a waste of time because you're trying to hide something.
I'm not trying to hide anything. Are you calling me a liar?
I'm calling you forgetting. You're forgetting here.
No.
Now, the Angels reported that Mike Trout underwent successful surgery to the ulnar collateral ligament on his left thumb, as well as a repair of a dorsal capsule today. So there was another injury as well. And there's stories out that this could be 10-plus weeks, not the 6 to 8 projected here. And was any of this known prior to the trade?
No. I was not aware of that. If I was and Greg wanted to pull out of it, I would be fine, and I would probably let him know. So I was not aware of this. And on our site, it also said 8 weeks. So, I didn't know about any of this.
Can we ask Dr. Ray if this adds to his timeline today?
Yeah, but you know what? I didn't speak to Dr. Ray before he came on the air. The trade was executed on Wednesday on the air, an hour before Dr. Ray came on, and I didn't speak to Dr. Ray on the phone during the week, and I usually don't. So. I didn't email him and ask him about the injury. They sent an article to Roto Experts that had the same timeline. If it's going to be 10 to 12, that's something new that happened after the trade went down. I don't deal dishonorably like that at all. I'm not forgetful, and I am fully transparent about it.
So you're saying you're a better person than Richard Nixon?
Yeah, I guess so. I am.
Yeah, this was actually, I believe, Dr. A's Twitter is Inside Injuries, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the ones reporting that'll be 10 plus weeks.
When did that tweet come out?
Dr. A's tweet, I don't know. I have to look up the, June 1st, 11:13 a.m.
So that came out yesterday morning, a day after we did the deal.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what? I got to be honest with you, Tony. Completely honest. I was not aware of that until you told me that just now.
I wasn't aware of it until last night either. Yeah. So yeah. I didn't know either.
This is news to me. If anybody wants to dig into anything I try to do and try to expose some foul play, they're always going to lose.
Why are they going to lose?
Straightforward guy, especially in my fantasy dealings. I would not knowingly trade somebody to somebody else knowing that the guy's going to miss more time.
Yeah, so we're absolutely going to get it done, and we're going to have to have an investigation here. I think we're going to have to hire a special prosecutor.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessary. You're not going to find nothing. go ahead if you want to, though. Go ahead and have fun with it, you know? And I'm sure I know who accused me of that too. So
Well, it's usually only two people, right?
And I don't think one of them's Cha Cha this time.
Really? Yeah. So we're going to have to check this out. And also, we had a situation with Alex Wood, too, is another guy that was having an injury that they're going back. And he was sent back to the team in Los Angeles, too. So Alex Wood was thought to miss, you know, the 10-day disablement, and thought a lot of people thought it was a fraud that the Dodgers were Mickey Mouse in this 10-day disablement. But Alex Wood looks like he might be missing more starts as well.
Yeah, and this is really sad, because Wood was having the best season of his career so far. But, you know, this is why the Dodgers are smart. You know, they have so much pitching depth, because, you know, you got guys like Ryu and Wood and McCarthy, you know, who are going to get hurt. And they have a lot of depth to replace these guys if and when they go down.
If you guys are out there on Twitter and you don't follow Inside Injuries, you're foolish. They got a lot of good information here that could help you out with your team. So definitely check that out. There's a tweet up there with a Justin Upton update. You can check that out as well. So go to @InsideInjuries for
that
information.
I own Upton, so in two leagues.
Yeah. Scott, so you had two bad pitches performances. Now you got to wake up to a Justin Upton Inside Injuries tweet. That would be the one site you don't want to read about information about your player.
Yeah, you know what, though? Dr. A's come on here and always, like, talked about how much Upton actually gets banged up, even though, you know, you just look at the final games that he plays a lot, but he says he always gets banged up, you know, and it affects his production. It's like sometimes you argue with the Cowboy fans when Romo was playing and said, he's injury prone. No, he only missed this much amount of games. But, yeah, but how many times did he get banged up and was threatened to go out, you know, was listed as questionable, et cetera. You know, sometimes people just don't want to admit that players are injury prone.
The Indians, 8-0 victory. Corey Kluber came off the disabled list yesterday. Only he pitched 77 pitches, but had 10 strikeouts in 6 innings pitched. This is the best game he's pitched all season. This is a guy that came off the DL, and now Corey Kluber owners are going to be happy after seeing a performance like this, because he struggled before his injury.
Yeah, and you talk about pitch movement yesterday. Boy, Corey Kluber certainly had it. His curve was really snapping. And he struck out 5 of the first 6 hitters that he faced. And in the 6th inning, he was facing Mark Canha, and he threw him a curve. And the curve started in the middle of the plate and ended up in the opposing batter's box and the other batter's box. And he struck him out. It's just like, he was fun to watch yesterday.
Kluber got it done. The offense, he got a bunch of singles here. No power for the Cleveland Indians. Robinson and Kipnis both doubled. Those were the 2 extra base hits in this one. And for the Oakland A's, Rajah Davis had a stolen base there. And Jarrell Cotton only allowed 1 earned run in 5 2/3 innings, but did walk 4 guys and struck out 4.
Yeah, and he also had 2 wild pitches as well. So, you know, his command wasn't there yesterday.
The Milwaukee Brewers defeated the New York Mets with Chase Anderson on the hill. Defeated Zach Wheeler. Zach Wheeler went 6 1/3, allowed 2 earned runs, did allow 10 hits, had 6 strikeouts. And Chase Anderson, 7 innings, 3 hits, 7 strikeouts, no earned runs. Chase Anderson's ERA down to 3.30 on the season. Corey Neville picks up his 4th save of the season, doubled by Hernan Perez. And for the New York Mets, Wilmer Flores hits a home run. And one of the strangest ejections in the history of baseball happened in this game yesterday, as manager Terry Collins was ejected for arguing because the ball boy in his stool tried to get a stool out of the way from Wilmer Flores catching a foul ball and ran into Wilmer Flores' arm, and Flores missed the foul ball, and Terry Collins was ejected.
One of the strangest goddamn ejections you ever saw? Cicada, huh? This guy coming from a guy who's always talking about strange crap? What the hell, man? Did you see the goddamn ball bar? I saw him. But definitely one of the most odd things you will ever see in a game, but probably could only happen in a Mets game the way things are going. A lot of people are saying, and Chase Anderson is not allowed to run in his last 2 starts. Over like, you know, he's been rolling lately. Wheeler's pitched pretty good overall. His slider's looking better than it has. Maybe any point during his career, and he's pitching better against lefties.
So, folks, here's what happened in this Mets game. So, the ball boy was trying to get out of the way. He hit Flores in the arm. Now, they called him out at first, right? And the umpires got together and realized the rule is that if a security guy, if a ball boy, if an usher gets in the way, it's incidental contact, and you're not supposed to call out. So they realized there is actually a rule for this, and they reversed the call, so Terry Collins flipped out. But what happened was Collins got ejected, and the very next pitch was a double play. So it ended up being inconsequential anyways.
Inconsequential my ass.
So that happened in yesterday's game. And so I didn't know. I always wondered, though, what would happen if the bat boy, the ball boy ever got in the way.
Yeah, see, you're the one person I could see sitting there going, see, I always knew this could happen.
Yeah, actually, I did see a game the other night where there was a runner on first, and the pitch went behind the catcher, and the ball boy didn't know. He forgot there was a guy on first. He ran and went and got the ball.
Nice.
he got it before the catcher, and the ump called timeout and everything, and they kept the runner at first base. So it happens, Scott. It happens. People are human.
Yes, they are.
Humans happen. Talk about Adam Wainwright. He's not dead. He's alive. He's not a zombie. He's absolutely getting it done. We're coming back. Adam Wainwright on Cicada and Angle. Welcome back to Cicada and Angle right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Scotty, I got to tell you, you're talking about people that you could be wrong about. Adam Wainwright was a guy I was giving up for dead. I didn't want anything to do with this guy. We talked about it yesterday when we previewed the game. He had pitched three stellar games in a row and had a fourth to it. Six innings pitched. He had six strikeouts, two walks, allowed four hits. His ERA is down to 3.79. Adam Wainwright is putting together an incredible string of pitching performances.
Over his last four starts, he's 4-0 with a 0.43 ERA. You know, in addition to like adding in some hitting as well. And Wainwright's inducing a lot of soft contact over this four game span. And yeah, I think you give a lot of credit to a veteran pitcher remaking himself. We thought Adam Wainwright was done, all of us, including myself.
Yeah, absolutely amazing what he's done. They win this 2-0. Jed Jericho doubled, and Jericho, of course, 3-for-4 in this contest for the Cardinals. DeJong, 2-for-4 here. And for the Dodgers, nothing offensively happening. But Brandon McCarthy only pitched 4 innings, 2 earned runs, 85 pitches to get through 4 innings, and had 6 strikeouts.
Yeah, you know the guy's going to pitch well when he's healthy. But like I've been saying about the Dodgers, you know, these guys seem like they can go down at any time. But they have good rotation depth. You know, you just have to take it a week at a time. And if you play in daily moves, take it a start at a time.
A start at a time. That's the way to go about it. And then he had the Colorado Rockies a double up. The Seattle Mariners 6-3 yesterday. Kyle Freeland gets a double. Giovanni Gallardo loses his sixth game of the season. Greg Holland, congratulations. 20 saves on the season. Homers by Mark Reynolds and Nolan Arenado. Had a stolen base from Carlos Gonzalez in this one. Freeland goes 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 strikeouts in this one. And Greg Holland secures a 20th save for the Rockies.
Yeah, who would have thought that, you know, before the season? This is a guy I got for $2 in Tout Wars. A lot of people were talking about Ottavino, but this guy has recaptured his best form. And overall, is the bullpen is so improved. It was a big weakness of the Rockies last year. But when a guy's getting that many saves, it's just not on him. It's the fact that the bullpen itself is good and can build that bridge to him. And also, the two big injuries in this game. Nelson Cruz got hit by a Freeland pitch on the hand, had to leave the game. We don't know what the status is yet. And then Gene Segura, sliding into second, turned his ankle. And while Scott Servais said after the game that it's just a twisted ankle. I don't want to say anything. You know, he's still undergoing tests, etc. They actually had to help him off the field physically, so that does not bode good for a guy that's playing really well.
No, it didn't look good. The Nelson Cruz situation, that could just be precautionary. I don't know about that one, but the Gene Segura one definitely did not look good yesterday.
No, it certainly did not, and they said they'll know more about it today, that Cervez didn't want to speculate at all.
New York Yankees put up 12 runs against Marco Estrada and the Blue Jays. 12-2 victory in this one. CeCe Sabathia, he's putting together a nice little run here. 6 3rd innings, 1 earned run, 7 strikeouts, ERA at 4.12. Home runs by Sanchez with 2 of them in this contest. And Brett Gardner and Aaron Hicks go deep for doubles. Hicks actually 3 doubles on the night. I mean, this Aaron Hicks, I don't know what the heck to make of him. 6 RBIs in this game, 317. The guy can certainly play. He had all the ability when he came up in the Minnesota's organization, never delivered on it, and now is bringing it home with the New York Yankees.
Yeah, and interesting that he had 6 RBIs without hitting a home run. The last Yankee to do that was actually have 6 RBIs without hitting a home run in a game, Joe Girardi, when he was actually a player in 1999. Brett Gardner now has 13 multi-hit games this year. Just totally changed himself as a hitter. So, and the 2 homers by Gary Sanchez, he now has 25 homers in his first 300 major league at-bats, the second quickest among all active players to get to 25 homers.
Who was the first?
I do not know.
But you know he was the second?
I do know for a fact that he's the second.
I don't think you checked 3 sources on that.
I checked 2 sources on it. I think that's good enough.
I don't know. How is it good enough if you don't know who the first is?
It still shows something, though.
Like, when you write your notes, I would think that, you know what, maybe I should find out who the first would be. Like, that would have been the first thing that went up to my mind. How come it didn't approach your mind?
I guess it just didn't. But I could find it out for you. Google's really? My friend, you know?
I'm trying to do the same thing while I'm talking nonsense.
Yeah. As always.
It's the King and Scott Angle. Now, on the Toronto side of things, things didn't go well. Marco Estrada, 3 2/3 innings, 7 earned runs, 4 strikeouts in this one. Had a home run from Kendis Morales, his 11th of the season. Ezekiel Carrera, his 4th home run of the season. I like Carrera. I just hate that he bats down the bottom of the order. He's .290 batting average. He can steal some bases. Has a little bit of pop. He's not a bad player for people if you need a fifth outfielder.
Yeah, he's not. And, especially American League only. I actually had him in one team, and I was getting a lot of trade offers for him. It actually moved him 2 weeks ago. As far as Estrada goes, here's another stat on him. The 7 runs he allowed were the most that he has allowed in any games as a Blue Jay.
Wow. He didn't have a good night in the shower.
I don't think so. Well, maybe Babe Ruth made him feel better.
Oh, no, that's not true. Babe Ruth was the first American League player to reach 300 home runs in 2000.
No, that's not what I said. I said he was second quickest among active players.
Oh, active players?
Yes.
I thought he was so active players. So yeah. That isn't... Now I have to look Google again.
Talk some more nonsense. You didn't mention poop yet today.
Active
you know
players.
It's coming, so just get it over with.
Who would you guess would it be? If you had to guess, who would you be?
If I had to guess, who would it be? Somebody who got off to a great start in their career, homer-wise.
I think I know who it is.
You think who is it?
I think it's going to be Mike Trout.
That's a good one. Could it be Bryce Harper?
Yeah. We'll get out there. If you guys know on Twitter, fire away at FNTSY Radio. FNTSY Radio. is the way to go, and let us know who is the guy that it was the fastest to 25 home runs in 300 at bats. One other player's done it besides Gary Sanchez. So who else is the guy? And according to Scott Angle, he's active.
Yes.
It's not even according to Scott Angle. It's according to Scott Angle's two sources.
It's according to MLB Network.
There you go.
Yeah.
Arizona Diamondbacks were victorious over the Miami Marlins 3-2. Zach Greinke, 7 innings pitched, 8 strikeouts, allowed 1 earned run. And the Miami Marlins, Jeff Lockett's a star, pitched very well. 5 2/3 innings, 7 strikeouts, 1 earned run in that one. And Kyle Barraclough is struggling. Got nobody out, allowed 2 earned runs and 2 walks in yesterday's contest. In just 13 pitches. I don't know how you could do that much damage in 13 pitches.
I didn't know you could. And with Jeff Locke, you know, we've seen this before with him where he'd have like a few great starts for the Pirates and then he'd get blown up for like 3 consecutive starts. Or I think Locke made the All-Star game one year. He had a great first half. And Zach Greinke, the only team that has never beaten him are the Miami Marlins. He's now 5-0 against them.
Wow. He owns them, right?
Yep.
They should sign him.
They should, right? Yeah, but then nobody would go to watch him.
I don't know. If they had like sometimes they have like Fiesta Night. Oh, right. I think I know who it is now.
Who is it?
It was not Mike Trout.
Who is it?
It was Jose Abreu.
Is that a fact?
Jose Abreu hit 25 home runs in his first 67 games of his career.
Right.
And it was under 300 at-bats.
There you go.
Whoever thought it would be Jose Abreu? How many guesses would you have gotten before you got to Jose Abreu?
About 10.
You would have got there?
I might have gotten there. Sussman probably would have got there before me.
Well, he's good at games?
Oh, he's great at trivia. That's his thing.
He likes trivia.
Yeah. It's like he said one of his dreams was to be a game show host.
I know. You know why he wants to be the host?
Why?
I think it's because he doesn't know the answers.
No, I think he does know the answers. He's won Is Mike Lying several times.
Not more than Corey Parson, the fantasy executive.
Yes, I think he's won more than Corey Parson, yes.
Mike Florio, who's the all-time champion on Is Mike Florio Lying, excluding Adam Ronis?
Ooh, excluding Adam Ronis? I don't know. It might be Scott. I mean, there's Scott, there's Matty Modica, but it's close.
It's not fantasy executive?
I don't know, to be honest. After Ronis, there's a gap, though, so you guys got to go
like
on a streak.
19 straight.
Someone needs to go on that Ronis streak. That's what I'm waiting for.
Ronis won like 19 straight when we started the game.
Adam Ronis, a man before his time. But when we come back, we will sell no wine before it's time. 6:50 in the morning. If you're listening to the show, drink up. Stay tuned for more Cigar and Angle. Welcome back to Cotter and Angle right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. My name is Tony Cotter. Alongside me, the King Scott Angle. And we have Mike Florio with us on a Friday. Mike Florio, of course, is Mike Lying, which you'll hear today on Roto Experts in the Morning. Mike Florio, are you ready for today?
Yep, definitely.
Now, let me ask you a question. Is Mike lying? You heard earlier, now the story has come out. Scott, of course, you're in the league that made a trade involving Mike Trout. A day later, the inside injuries reported that that Mike Trout could be out 10 to 12 weeks with an additional injury. Do you believe that Scott had insider information? Because the last person I heard that denied it was Martha Stewart, and she went to jail.
You know, the Angels, they were in town, and Scott was covering the Met game at Citi Field then, too, so it's looking like he might have had inside information from more than
the Angels were in town a week before Trout got injured, moron.
Maybe they told you about another injury he had, and that's the one that's going to hold him out.
Nice try. Go back and press some buttons, will you?
Why is he so he's getting so
he's defensive for a guy who didn't have any inside information?
Because that's the dumbest thing you probably could have said, that the Angels were in town a week early. They were in there a week before Trout got injured.
Maybe they told you he was going to slide and break his thumb.
Oh my God, that is like the dumbest thing you've ever said. That's a doozy.
Now, how would you see, I don't think let's just say for the sake of this argument, Scott knew about this. I think Scott should get a congratulations, a pat on the back, if he was able to find that out, as opposed to
bad form. That's really,
why? Because you did more homework than
Sussman? That's really bad fantasy form to have an inside tip and not be honest with the other guy, and then trade with him a guy that's going to be out longer than we both expected. Like, trade to him a guy that's expected to miss 8 weeks that now can miss 10 to 12. That would be very dishonest on my part. You know, Greg is very straight up in his dealings with me. That would not be fair, and it's not something I would endorse or ever do.
That's what a guy with insider information would say.
What do you think? What do you think? Like, I would think that there's very little advantages now in fantasy sports because there's so much information there. Say Scott was able to do the research. Say he was able to call the Angels trainer because he gave him a fantasy football tip. Say he was able to get, Dr. Reyes called me up today. Tomorrow we're reporting that we think there's a chance that Trout will be out longer. Like, I would give Scott credit, right? What do you think, Florio, in this situation?
I guess you could give him credit, but I also agree with Scott. I think that's a little bit taken. Like,
That's backhanded.
You get bad karma for that.
That's backhanded, unfair, and snaky.
Really?
Yeah.
Then again, he's speaking like a guy with insider information.
Scott Engel had inside information, true or false. Tell him it goes against the grain, and he's right.
So you kind of just
Scott
admitted
that
it.
I didn't admit anything.
Yeah, so Scott, based on what you're saying, though, back when the Boston Celtics selected Larry Bird in the draft with the 7th pick in the draft, because they knew that Larry Bird was at the age of being drafted and the other teams didn't figure it out because he was still in college, do you think Red Auerbach should have told the other 6 teams that Larry Bird could be able to be picked?
Well, they took advantage of a loophole. I'll give you an example. A few years ago, maybe this was like, I don't know, like 5 years ago, something like that, 6 years ago, I got a tip that Ben Jarvis Green Ellis was going to start for the Patriots. So I made a low-level trade for him.
An
insider tip.
Florio, there's a patent.
Behavior. That backs your story up that you don't do insider information?
No, that's a different kind of insider. That's a different kind of insider tip. You're too young to understand the complexities of this.
We got to take a break. Stay tuned for more hijinks and robbery.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
It's Cincada and Angle on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Here are your hosts, Tony Cincada and Scott Angle.
Welcome back to Cincada and Angle right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm going to tell you right now, people are crazy. People are insane, and I don't know why it happens, but, like, here's the thing. If we ended the Major League Baseball season today, no one would vote Miguel Sano as the most valuable player in baseball.
No, they wouldn't.
Yet, he's on a first-place team. He has 13 home runs, and he's hitting .297, batting the middle of the order for the Minnesota Twins. And yet, there's not a lot of great offensive players on this team. But no one would vote for Miguel Sano. Why is that, Scott? Why is that?
small market. People don't believe in the Twins, etc. But you have to also remember it's June, though. And like, while you make a great point, I think if the Twins are still in first place in September, you're going to hear that kind of talk. Nobody's really going to drum up MVP support in June. You know, you make a lot of sense, but I'm saying, you say nobody's talking about that. I think that is because it's June. You know, people don't believe that the Twins are going to continue to contend.
See, here's the thing. Let's just say that we'll take for the sake of the argument the Twins, you know, win their division.
Right.
I think we're going to hear talk about George Springer, Jose Altuve,
yeah,
Mookie Betts, and Aaron Judge all ahead of the Miguel Sano.
You might, but I think stronger support will come out for him if this team continues to contend, because he's clearly the major centerpiece. Dozier is not even expected to, not even having the season that we expected.
What's your thoughts on this Twins team? I mean, you look at it, right? And I don't know how they're doing it, to tell you the truth. They're only four games over 500, so it helps that the division's not that good. They're tied with Cleveland right now. Detroit's 3.5 back. I expect the Indians, you saw Corey Kluber get healthy yesterday. You saw Danny Salazar pitch pretty good out of the bullpen. I expect Cleveland to run away with this division. But you go back last year, right? The Minnesota Twins were right in there. They hung out there. I think they lost by four games. So it's not a team that's terrible, or the expectations are out of whack for this team.
Yeah, they play really well on the road, and I think overall they've just played solid baseball, and some guys are playing better than you expect. Like, you know, Robbie Grossman is definitely playing better than we've expected. But you're looking up and down the lineup, though. Like Buxton's got his average up to, you know, 189 now. Maybe he's ready for a breakout.
What is wrong with Ron the mailman?
What?
It was a trade in the Granite Street Tavern League yesterday.
Yeah.
Ron the mailman traded for Byron Buxton because he needed stolen bases, is the word on the street. And I don't understand how anyone could trade for Byron Buxton for anything.
Well, this is a guy that tried to offer Cole Hamels when he went on the DL.
So when we come back, we'll talk about the trade. We'll wonder how the hell is there a market for Byron Buxton. Stay tuned for more for Zuccotto and Engel. Welcome back to Sincotta and Engel right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. He is the King, Scotty Engel. My name is Tony Sincotta. And I have to have a retraction. It was not the Fantasy Mailman. It was the Long Island Bob and Bruce that made the trade for Byron Buxton. And that explains everything to me now, actually.
Why? Because it's Bob and Bruce? They didn't consult you before the trade?
They called me a couple times, but I didn't answer the phone. I was busy at the time they called. Josh Bell for Byron Buxton was the trade in this one, and they were trying to acquire stolen bases in this trade. So Buxton gets traded. How the heck can you trade Byron Buxton?
Well, are we counting minor league stolen bases in the league this year?
No, we're not. That's the problem. Like that. Yeah, that's the crazy part. I don't know our guy Bob from Long Island what he was thinking here.
I don't know. But, I've been after steals myself. And, you know, Chacho was telling me, like, the whole league is coming after Elvis Andrus. That makes a lot more sense.
Everybody wants a little Elvis?
Yep.
Would you, if you ever get married again, would you ever think about getting married in an Elvis chapel?
No. Although, in Las Vegas, they have the Kiss mini golf, and they actually have a Kiss wedding chapel there. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, so you can get married by Gene Simmons?
You can get married. I think Gene actually did a wedding there, but, like, you know, you can get married there even if Gene's not there.
That's pretty cool, right? Yeah. I think you, why don't you renew your vows?
I don't think my wife would want to do it at Kiss Chapel.
No.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Like, look,
though.
I support your love of the band, you know, but I think that's going a little too far. I mean, my wife will, like, if she's out somewhere and she sees something cool kiss-wise, she'll buy it for me. She's supportive of my fanaticism about the band, but I think that's a little over the top. It's like, you know, when my son was, we were bouncing around names, you know, I didn't think Paul or Gene were going to fly.
No. So did you suggest them at all?
No, I suggested Ace as a middle name, but I didn't think it was going to fly, and it didn't.
No, Ace is not the place.
Oh, boy.
Now, let me ask you a question. Yesterday, Jake Seeley, I got to give him credit because he actually had some sound reasoning.
Okay.
Yeah. If you guys check it out, you want to check out the whole and entirety of this. This was on the Fantasy Sports News Desk, brought to you by the New York Daily News, which you can get on iTunes or Google Play. Jake is, he's like dead against a lot of things in life.
Yes, like, and I found like out one kickers, more thing. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like making love before marriage.
Yes. Well, he's religious, so, you know, I think to a degree you got to respect that, you know.
No, I'm just saying he's against it. He's against a lot of things. I respect everything he's against. Yeah. I just told you. I think he made a good point.
Well, a lot of people on this channel give Jake a lot of crap for his beliefs, too, though.
That's you.
Yeah.
That's you.
I used to. I stopped. I do give him crap for certain things, though, that, like, you know, he thinks more people play standard in PPR.
So Jake says that a handcuff is a waste of pick. And he goes on and points out, we talked a lot about the Tevin Coleman, Devonta Freeman situation, right? So if you pick Devonta Freeman and then you take Tevin Coleman later, it's a wasted pick. He says basically what you're picking is in case your guy gets hurt, the other guy steps in, and that you can't even make the case that you can use these guys at the same time because when you look at them, they're both top 20 running backs at season's end in point totals. But he points out that he only had 5 games over the league average, Tevin Coleman, each and every week. So only 5 weeks did he actually help you and become an RB2 in that point. And how do you feel about handcuffs?
Well, I agree with Jake to a certain degree because you don't draft Tevin Coleman if you have Devonta Freeman because he's second on the depth chart because if Freeman was to go out, that doesn't mean that Tevin Coleman all of a sudden becomes a workhorse. That means Tevin Coleman could be splitting carries with Terran Ward or Brian Hill necessarily. So he's not the direct handcuff. It's not necessarily, you know, from Freeman to Coleman. Coleman's going to have his role regardless. It might expand a little if Tevin Coleman were to get injured, but I think they would put a different second running back in that mix there. And the handcuff is not always apparent at the beginning of the season as well. You know, you might look on a depth chart and, you know, the second running back, that battle might not be worked out in camp. It might be changed during the season. But then there are other obvious situations, I think, where the handcuff is certainly apparent. You know, I mean, you look at Seattle, like, some people might think, okay, I take Eddie Lacy. I need to get CJ Procise. That's not the case. If Eddie Lacy gets injured, I think Thomas Rawls would step up to get more carries. But then you look at other situations, and I think the handcuff is certainly clear. Like last year, like if Ezekiel Elliott was to get hurt, Alfred Morris would be the next guy up, or you know, when Darren McFadden was hurt. Sometimes you see a clear 1-2 punch there. It really depends on the situation. So the handcuff is not necessarily the waste, but you have to understand each situation on every NFL team before you take that dive.
All right, so you just spent 5 minutes not answering the question. So the question is, I'll rephrase my question. Maybe this will help. Is there a handcuff?
Sorry, I tried
that
to give some
like
in-depth analysis there, you know.
No, you didn't. You in-depthly went around like a politician and didn't answer the question.
All right, Trump. What? Go ahead.
Your answer was that every handcuff is not apparent. So that didn't tell me whether you believed in handcuffs or not.
There's not a broad stroke answer to it. There's not a singular answer to this question. You want a singular answer,
so
I can't give you. Ask me the question straight out.
straight out the question is, do you believe in handcuffs at the running back position? Like, let's just take the instance you just brought up, the Ezekiel Elliott, Alfred Morris situation, right?
Yeah.
Last year, would you have selected Alfred Morris and got on your way to select Alfred Morris if you were an Ezekiel Elliott owner?
It's what I would consider. I wouldn't go out of my way if I miss on the guy. You know, it sometimes that happens in the later rounds. I wouldn't go out of my way necessarily.
So you wouldn't pick him, like, say,
if it's like the 13th round and he's there and I realize I have Elliott, I would do it.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen.
No, if he's there in a round where, like, it depends. Like, do I have to fill another need first? It's like, that's why I couldn't answer the question directly. Sometimes I believe in the handcuffs. Other times I pass on it. I don't think there's a singular answer to that question. Really, there really isn't.
See, I think you just answered it without answering it. I think if you get to the double-digit rounds with those backs available, then you go ahead and you pounce on it. But I think what Jake's saying is, like, in the Tevin Coleman situation, is you can't pick Tevin Coleman in the fifth round when you have another need, like you just mentioned.
Oh, yeah, I'm not doing that. No, if that's the scope of your question, then I'm going to say no. You know, I was looking at it from Home Depot full draft perspective. You know, I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm not going to say, draft C.J. Anderson in the third, and then what's the other kid there from last year? Like, what is the name expected? What was that other kid from Denver last year, the rookie?
Yeah, Jesus, I can't even remember his name. It wasn't Amon Green.
You know, I'm not gonna draft C.J. Anderson in the fourth and Devontae Booker in the seventh.
Yeah, Devonta Booker.
Right.
Yeah, so that's the specific answer that we're looking for. Back in the day, it was Arian Foster and Alfred Blue, and people would pick Alfred Blue like 2-3 rounds ahead of where he should actually go because they had Foster.
I would never do that, no. But if the handcuff's available later, if I draft Eddie Lacy in the sixth, I'll take Thomas Rawls in the 11th if he's still there.
And I get that. Once you get to double-digit rounds, I think absolutely.
So I do believe in it there, but if you're saying in the early rounds, do I believe in doing the handcuff thing strongly? Hell no.
There you have it. There we have it. Fantasy football right around the corner. June 14th, the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package will be available at rotoexperts.com, and you can't not get this, because if you don't get this, you're going to be behind the eight ball, and people are going to be laughing at you on draft day when you go and make these foolish picks, and you get the wisdom of Jake Seeley, who is the number one ranker in the history of fantasy football, I think he told me.
Yeah, and I think Mike Florio took issue with that. Yeah, he said, you know, if you want to be a really better ranker, you got to listen to the best friends forever, and that really tweaked Jake.
Yes,
no, he needs insider information.
That only Scott Engel can provide.
Yep, that's how you become number one.
That's how you become number one. It's the King, Scott Engel. He's taking over the rest of the show. I'm tired. I need to go research whether Scott cheated the world or not. Put him in jail next to Martha Stewart. They can share towels. I'll see you Monday morning. I must break you.
How you doing? My name is Rocky Balboa. Ty and Stallion. Here talking with my friend Matt Modica. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
If Scott dies, he dies.
I know you got a big mouth, you know. What's going on, Matt Modica? How are you?
Oh, good morning. It is Friday, baby.
Yes, it is. Or should we say, it is Friday, June 2nd. How's that? We're not going to hear that this morning on the Roto Experts.
Yes, unfortunately not, but I am looking forward to it. Is Mike Florio lying? I will defend my title once again. I think maybe we need a pay-per-view with me versus Adam Ronis to see who the real king is.
Yeah, I think you're the king now.
Ah, I like it.
Adam has moved on. Yeah, it's He's not part of the mix anymore. He made his choice. He'll have to live with it. Gene Segura coming off the field last night with an ankle injury, had to be helped off. Doesn't look good.
Not at all. I know they're trying to downplay it, you know, maybe, you know, wait for the swelling to go down, take some x-rays. But as a Gene Segura owner in a couple of spots, not too happy about that.
No, it's going to be difficult to replace him. Some people thought he wouldn't put up the same type of numbers going to Seattle, but, you know, the batting average has been there. The steals have been there. He's pretty much the same player that he was in Arizona.
Yeah, I didn't anticipate the power of 20 home runs coming back, but I did think 30 stolen bases, like maybe like a 280-ish average. I mean, the average has been like 330, 340 or something like that this season. So he's been excellent in that department. But the one thing, the stolen bases, I think he's got like 7 or 8, but he's been caught like 6 or 7 times, which is quite surprising.
Yeah, I play in like a net stolen bases league. So, you know, that wouldn't go over too well in a league like that. We saw the Cincinnati Reds beat the Cleveland Indians by a count of 4-3, and Corey Kluber made a fantastic comeback from a back injury yesterday. And Cody Allen, though, blew his first save of the year, allowing 2 runs in 1 innings pitch. Actually, that was the other day, though. I'm looking at the wrong day.
Yeah, they played Oakland yesterday. It was 10-0 or something like that.
Yeah, so Cody Allen's been a little bit shaky lately. I was still getting to that point. But really nothing to worry about overall, though, you would think.
I don't think they want to upset the structure they have right now. And Cody Allen always has his little bumps along the way here or there throughout the season. Not someone I'm going to be too concerned right now. I mean, if the struggles continue, though, that would be something to monitor.
Definitely. But not really worried about Cody Allen right now. You know, it's. But are you worried at all about Tony Watson?
I was pretty much beating the drum not to draft Tony Watson prior to the season. I understand what Pittsburgh's trying to do. He's a free agent, and they're looking to move him, build up his trade value and stuff. But, I mean, he does not have the best skills. Nicasio and Rivero both have better skills. I know Daniel Hudson was the popular choice as the guy that would usurp him. But I don't think it's Hudson. I think it'll probably be Rivero. He's pitched very well. Nicasio, they don't seem to want to use in that role anyway. They want to give him multiple innings. So, I mean, look, the Pirates are going to be moving in as many pieces as possible.
Yesterday, Cole Calhoun with a pair of home runs and you know, that gives him 7 for the season. If you listen to Roto Experts at the Park on Demand, you hear my interview with Cole Calhoun, but also Maria Guardado, who's a beat writer for MLB.com for the Angels. And I asked her about, because in the preseason, for my Fantasy Baseball Insider report, I was talking to somebody who said, you know, that he had that core muscle surgery and it could be a very rough first half from him as he tries to recover. He said he didn't feel like himself until January. It really takes like about a year to recover from that surgery. Calhoun's only hitting .213 right now.
Yeah, I remember you mentioning that, and I think I agree. Probably second half, this is a guy to watch. I do think he's a good player to have on your team. He's disappointed so far. But, you know, these are things you got to do. I mean, he's a player that's, you know, been underwhelming. But didn't Justin Verlander have that same thing, the core surgery, and it took him quite a while to get back? So, you know, so maybe somebody that, you know, if he's out on a waiver wire, you have on a watch list in, say, a 12-team league.
Yeah, this Angels outfield is very depleted right now, Matty. It's you know, they lost Trout, obviously, and inside injuries reported last night that because it involves a dorsal capsule, that it might be 10 to 12 weeks now instead of the 8 that we were hearing. And then Cameron Maven goes on a DL with a quad injury, and you know those can be nasty. So, you know, is there anybody worth picking up here in this outfield? Eric Young Jr. is back in the majors, and he actually homered the other night. Maybe he still has a little bit of speed. You might see Ben Revere play there too.
Yeah, I mean, if you're desperate for speed, I guess you got to take a gamble on Revere or Eric Young Jr. They're going to get some playing time. So, I mean, in the with the state of the game, with speed being so rare and a precious commodity. I mean, the Angels really have to roll these guys out. So, yeah, why not? And it just proves my point even more about trading Trout and, you know, holding on to, even if you only miss 2 months, that's 2 months of zeros. I mean, you just, it's so tough, especially like you said, you were in fourth place.
Yeah.
You don't want to fall to eighth or ninth and then get Trout back and not have enough time to make a move.
Yeah. And I actually heard that last night, like a day and a half after I made the trade. And, you know, the news just keeps getting worse and worse for the Trout owners. Even when he was originally traded, you know, you were thinking and you heard Greg said it, said, well, look, we'll take a shot, but we don't know what he's going to even look like when he comes back.
Yeah, no, that's as a Trout owner in a couple of places, I was fortunate enough to get the number one pick. And that's not looking good. That's really not looking good. And when he comes back, like you said, I don't know what to expect. I don't think he's going to run as much, or maybe if he puts that protective glove on. But I think he's going to be more concerned about his hitting and getting back with that. So, and the Angels season by that time will be long gone.
Yeah, and we'll have Dr. A in studio in about an hour, and maybe we can even ask him about the now extended timeline for possibly Mike Trout to miss, according to the InsideInjuries.com. Zach Wheeler yesterday, 6 1/3 innings pitched, 10 hits, 2 earned runs, 6 strikeouts. You know, not a performance that necessarily helped your whip, but you know, Wheeler did look pretty good yesterday and just didn't get any run support.
No, the whip took a hit yesterday. It was almost a 2 whip that he performed with yesterday. But he's pitched well. I mean, all things aside, they were hitting him. They were aggressive. But I think over his last 6 starts, he's got like a 2.65 ERA. So, I mean, look, he's given the Mets everything that they could possibly have hoped for right now. And he's not the reason why the Mets are in this situation. And, you know, you got to hope Harvey can just get better. Maybe, you know, due to that surgery that he had, it's going to take a little while and he can get back. But I'm not too optimistic on that.
Steven Matz could return as soon as this weekend. You know, maybe we might even see him Saturday against the Pirates, maybe as soon as tomorrow or Sunday, something like that. Matz is always getting hurt, but, you know, maybe he mixes speeds and locations better than anybody on the staff, you know, when he's in there.
When he's on the mound, I really enjoy watching him, and I think he's a really good pitcher. He's been hurt at every single level, multiple injuries. They did a thing last season on the Mets when, like, I don't know if it was like the sideline reporter they have, if he did it or something. Pretty much it might be a mental thing, too, where at one point he was told anytime he felt something to let everybody know, and now maybe he's taking that to the extreme, but he just seems to constantly be injured. I'm going to hope he can hold up. He's kind of, I compare him and Aaron Nola, you know, to the Phillies. They're very good young pitchers that just seem to can't stay on the field.
Yeah, we've already seen the Nola injury so far this season. Michael Conforto 0-for-4 yesterday. Jay Bruce 0-for-4 yesterday. You know, they all get shut down by Chase Anderson, who's now delivered 2 strong starts in a row. And now Anderson is 4-1.
Yeah, I was asked the question. I did the In This League podcast on Sunday with the Welsh and Bogman, and it was Rank, Sean Manaea, Sonny Gray, and Chase Anderson. I said, for me, it wasn't close. Manaea was the top guy. But I said between 2 and 3, it's a lot closer. And the reason I would stay away from Chase Anderson is he just gives up too many fly balls, and the hard hit contact is pretty high as well, even though the last 2 starts have been very good. You know, as it heats up and in that ballpark he pitches in, it's a very tough task to ask him to keep it in the, you know, to not allow a lot of home runs.
You know, we talked about earlier on the show today about Gary Sanchez and his 2 home runs yesterday, and Aaron Hicks, who became the first Yankee in 18 years to have 6 RBIs in a game without hitting home runs and hitting a home run, and he's really taking advantage of an opportunity. But all of a sudden, look at CC Sabathia. He's won his last 4 starts with a 2.48 ERA.
Yeah, Sabathia and, like, Adam Wainwright, they kind of, like, blow your mind a little. Sabathia, I mean, I don't know. I just personally can't trust him. I'll trust Wainwright a little more, especially with the National League. And the thing with Wainwright, he doesn't need to use his fastball. They did a really interesting piece last night on MLB Network right. on pretty much how what he's doing with his delivery. He's speeding it up and stuff. So he right now, it seems like the last month, he's kind of been fooling hitters on his delivery and really using that curveball of his.
Yeah, he's been inducing a lot of soft contact. Adam Wainwright, he is 4-0 with a 0.34 ERA in his last four starts.
And what's interesting is his skills were better in April than they were in May. So it's kind of weird.
Got to go figure there. Lots more baseball talk coming here on Cincata and Engel without Cincata. So now it's Engel and Modica, and we'll have a lot more of that coming up. I want Balboa. I want Balboa. You hear me, old man? I'm coming after him. Hey, woman. Since you ain't got no heart, I bet you like to see a real man. I bet you stay home late every night dreaming you had a real man. Well, I tell you what. Don't go see the Broadway play because there ain't no real man playing Rocky over there. What are you talking about? Welcome back to Cincata and Engel. We have Matt Modica with me this morning talking some fantasy baseball. And Matt, I think we should be careful about who we talk up on this show. Yesterday we talked up Marco Estrada, Eduardo Rodriguez, and I got both of them on my team, and they both get rocked. And Eduardo Rodriguez actually fell down in the bullpen before the game yesterday and then went out and gave up four homers where he only gave up five whole year coming in.
Yeah, I saw that John Farrell mentioned that, you know, they had to keep an eye on him and stuff. So he went into the sixth inning, though, I believe. And, you know, he had a bad outing, but he's pitched very well this season. I think he gave up most of his damage in that sixth. The other guy, Estrada, who I was on social media the day before, you know, saying I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I said it on the show yesterday. And how does he repay me? He gives up seven runs. So
yeah.
But I still believe, you know.
Yeah, his pitches were flat. He was just laying them over the plate. And that was really the case even more for Estrada, who gave up the two home runs to Sanchez, especially on that second homer. It just looked like he laid a meatball out there.
Well, yeah. I mean, he didn't have it last night. The night prior to that, Jacob DeGrom didn't have it. You know, pitchers are going to make like 30 starts. They're going to have their top stuff, maybe 10 times, you know, there'll be a medium and 10 nights and really not going to have it. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I love a guy like Jacob DeGrom so much. For the most part, when he doesn't have it, he battles enough to keep his team in it. And, you know, but just some nights there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, but DeGrom didn't have it last time out, mm-hmm. but they're saying they found some mechanical flaws with DeGrom and Harvey that maybe would correct things next time that they come out. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see on that. But it was like I was saying with yesterday with Estrada. He's had two games this month now where he's given up five or more runs. He's got a terrific changeup, but and the strikeouts are up. But, you know, he's prone to some blowups here.
Yeah, no, he is. It's a tough park. It's a tough division to play in. But, I mean, I would if an owner was like, you know what, I don't want to roll with this chance anymore, I would gladly trade for Marco Estrada.
Yeah, it's yeah. Sometimes when you have those tough matchups though against the Yankees, and you got another starter there, you know, maybe you consider sitting him down, especially if you have the opportunity to stream him.
I understand what you're saying, but for me, I just released my recent rankings for the rest of the season. He's a top 25 pitcher for me, so for me, yeah. He's pretty much going to be out there every start unless it's like Coors. Because the problem is, if you do sit him and he pitches well, you're not getting that start back. So, I mean, he's been pitching in the American League East for the last couple of seasons and been doing really well. It was usually predicated on weak contact and a lot of infield flies, but the strikeouts have been there. So, you know, I'm a believer right now.
Yeah, well, mostly I've left him in my lineup. I've pretty much gone with what you said. His seven runs allowed last night were the most that he's ever allowed since he's come to the Blue Jays.
Yeah, and I think he's had a pretty good track record versus the Yankees. I can't confirm it, but I believe that to be true. So, I mean, look, like we said, he just didn't have it, and, you know, it's unfortunate. You're going to take beating sometimes. And with the state of pitching, you know, he's a guy that you know is probably going to give you that 200 innings.
What a little bit of a surprise in an Amir Garrett sort of way was Zach Godley getting sent to the minors, as it seems like the Diamondbacks want to carry an extra bullpen on for about a week, maybe a week and a half, and they might skip Godley's next turn. You know, at least on the outside, this seems to be a little bit senseless with the way Godley is pitching.
Yeah, I see, I don't like when pitchers are pitching well and you start manipulating this 10-day DL or putting them down in the minors for a week or two. Because he's got to go down for, I believe, 10 days with this move. And you take them out of their rhythm. It was like Kenta Maeda. The guy finally has a great outing, and they give him the 10-day DL, which I believe that time was totally being manipulated. So you don't want to stop the rhythm. Godley's pitched very well for them. I know Walker's supposed to be coming back, but he was supposed to have a bullpen yesterday, and now I heard it got pushed back to today. So maybe Sunday's up in the air. I don't know.
This is frustrating as heck for me, though, because I just picked up Godley in one league, you know, and I feel like I could start to lock him in. I'm gaining confidence, and now I got to replace him again.
Yeah, no, I totally understand your situation. And like I said, if somebody's doing well, why do you want to stop that momentum? You know, once he starts pitching bad, yeah, fine. You want to make a move or whatever. But for the move they made, I don't know. I think that was a bad move. There's a couple of things coming out of Arizona that I find a little concerning. They are willing, from what I heard, willing to make trades, but like trade their players as opposed to acquiring guys. And, I mean, I kind of understand it because maybe they're a year ahead of schedule and stuff. They would love, no matter how good Greinke is pitching, and I believe I have him fourth overall rest of the season, no matter how good he's pitching, they do want to get out from under that contract because he's pretty much making more than the rest of the team. So that's something that's going to hamstring.
Wow, they're contending right now, though, so.
No, I understand, but yeah. I think if a team came to them and said, look, we want Greinke, and we're going to take the majority of that salary and obviously give them something back that was of value, I think they would honestly consider that because that's a lot of money they're on the hook for.
Yeah, but also at the same time, you look at Arizona, they're playing really well, and if they get to the playoffs, they really don't have a chance of making a dent without a Zach Greinke.
Well, I mean, as a Mets fan, I've seen the Mets play really well through July. And then just totally collapse in the second
right.
half. That's why baseball is 6 months. That's why we tell you, don't drop these players. Don't give up on these guys that have been there. They've done it. And look, Arizona's been, you know, people saying they have a great lineup. Can the pitching hold up? I mean, I really moved Robbie Ray up in my rankings. I'm going to take the shot that if he can improve that control somewhat, I mean, this guy has all of, you know, all the signs of a true major breakout. He's fifth in strikeouts since the
start of his first career complete game.
Yeah, and he's fifth in strikeouts since the start of last season. He's got 300 strikeouts, or maybe 302 now, or something like that. But, I mean, he's got everything you want. Can he hold it up? You know, that's what we're going to find out. I mean, guys like, even like Jeff Samardzija, as great as he's been, we know Jeff Samardzija can blow up at any time. But I got to believe what he's doing. And if he can just curb that blow-up inning, you know, I think somebody you gotta put in.
Yeah, Samar just pitched better than we expected. So basically what you're saying about Greinke, though, it sounds to me like, you know, they have to fall out of contention in order to make that move. You know, if they're still in it in mid-July, like August, why are they going to move Greinke?
Oh, I mean, at the trading line, if I don't think they're going to move, but they'd have to. Look, the Dodgers are going to win that division. I don't have any concerns about that. I really don't. Like I said, this is June 2nd.
This could be a wild card team, though.
They could be a wild card team, but say if the Dodgers came to them and offered them one of their good prospects and said, we're gonna take on the majority of that salary. I'm just saying, I think Arizona is probably going to make that deal.
Aren't you thinking more like a fantasy owner there?
I'm thinking like, more like I'm thinking more like an owner GM.
Doesn't a real owner GM say we're in contention? Why are we going to move our best pitcher?
Because their best pitcher is making $200 million. It's a team that really can't afford that. It's a team that's really hamstrung.
That's something you consider during the offseason, though. If you're in contention, why do you move one of your best players? It doesn't make sense.
But you're not. If they're in contention for a wild card, that means they don't have anything secure. They're not winning that division. I will take any bet you want to make on that. The Dodgers win that division. The question is, I'm saying if they're going to get back a really good prospect and the Dodgers were willing to make to eat the majority of that contract, they're going to have to really consider that, because this isn't the New York Yankees. It's not the Boston Red Sox, you know. And look at Greinke last season. I mean, I love him. I told you how high I have him rest of the season. I'm just saying it's something to consider, and it echoes maybe some grumblings that are coming out of Arizona, which I found to be a little odd, as you're stating, but it would be something that, you know, let's see what happens.
It doesn't jibe with me, because, like, why are you not only going to move the guy because you're in contention? You know, I don't think, you know, especially having been around clubhouse and stuff like that, I don't think teams think like that. Like, you know, if we have a chance to win, if we have a chance to go for something, you know, we can't give up a big piece like that. And especially, why would you give it away to one of the other top teams that's contending to you? Like, I could see that during the off season, but, you know, during the season when you're actually trying to go for it, you don't know what happens in a playoff. Look, as a Met fan, you saw it yourself 2 years ago. I don't think anybody expected the Mets to go to the World Series, and they did. If this team is going to make the playoffs as a wild card, if they're going to have any shot of upsetting anybody or making a deep run, the only way they can do that is with Zach Greinke.
Okay, so say come the trade deadline, around that area, mid-July or something, they're like, you know, 5-6 games out of first, or 7 games out of first, and they're in contention for a wild card. They don't have nothing locked down. They're going to, you know, they have to consider all options. I don't think that's wrong. And it doesn't have to be the Dodgers. It could be the Red Sox. It could be the Yankees or whoever has money that could take on something like that, is my point. That's what I'm trying to say. And I think that's a baseball executive owner, GM, looking to maybe relieve themselves of a huge contract, get a good young player. It's something that I think would definitely be on the table.
I think where I fundamentally disagree with you is I don't think the GM would look like...
It's a wild card, though. You're looking at it.
We're going to the postseason. We're making the playoffs. Where I disagree with you...
But you don't have nothing guaranteed.
Yeah, but I don't think GM's looking like that. Maybe in the offseason, if they're 2 games out of first, or they got a lead for the wild card, or they're a game out of the wild card, I can't see them doing it. But we'll talk more about that when we come back. Back here on Sincott and Engel, the Roto Experts in the Morning, coming up in just a few minutes here. No Greg Sussman, Corey Parson will be hosting today, along with myself and Matt Modica. We will have Dr. A in studio to talk some fantasy football injuries, Matt.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. Doc's given us some really good things. He's kept me optimistic, and the reason why I'm going back in on Sammy Watkins when we broke down Julio Jones's foot. And Sammy Watkins' foot, he showed the difference and basically said without any setbacks, Sammy should be fine. So I'm going back to the well.
All right. Well, it doesn't seem like either you or Corey Parson can break up with Sammy Watkins, but at least I can say you're a Buffalo fan. So
you
see him more up close.
I'll make a baseball reference here. A lot of people were saying that about, you know, James Paxton. He can't pitch. And look, he's already been on the DL. But we've seen one out there, how dominant he is. And if you do the research on Sammy Watkins, went on the field. And now I think, you know, they have a new offensive coordinator, getting rid of Rex Ryan as a head coach and what he was doing to that team. It was is a very good thing, and I'm kind of excited. Tyrod Taylor's back. I like the kid Zay Jones. So I'm positive.
I don't disagree with you. I think, you know, when Watkins is on the field, actually, like, you know, over the last year and a half, he became even more of a complete receiver, where I felt like early in his career he was just a downfield guy. And, you know, he didn't run those slants and those outs quite as well. And I think he improved on those kind of things, you know, especially catching the ball over the middle. The problem is like I say, some players are more injury prone than others. And Sammy Watkins, it seems like it's always something. You want to make another baseball-football comparison, I almost feel like Sammy Watkins, like I do about Steven Matz.
No, that's very fair to say. But my point of view is, if I can get him in the third round, and I'm a guy that does like to go wide receiver run, I'm not scared about the running backs. Everybody's going to, you know, hoard them early. There's plenty of backs to get. But if I can, like I started in the other league, I started Beckham, and drafting Doug Baldwin in the second round, I feel, allows me, by getting that security of Baldwin, allows me to take a Sammy Watkins in the third.
Yeah, if you want to take him as your wide receiver two, and he's got wide receiver one upside, you know, does make sense. Jared Eichhoff's pitching against San Francisco later tonight. Eichhoff is 0-5 with a 4.74 ERA. We've expected him to be better than this. This is a matchup that, you know, I think there's a pivotal matchup for Eichhoff at this point in the season. If he can't hold down the Giants, it's like, you know, I talk about June 1st being panic date. It's like, I'm almost done if he can't hold down San Francisco.
Yeah, he's been very disappointing, a guy that I had high hopes for. I do have him, I think, 44th overall, my new rankings rest of the season. I still think he's a better pitcher than what he's shown. There's still 4 months. I'm hoping things get better today. Like you said, this is a matchup he should get him going.
And Francisco Liriano is going to return to action, but it's going to be a tough assignment against Michael Pineda and the Yankees. You know, I might even consider rolling Pineda out there in daily, because I think he's got a good shot to get the win.
I think you got to pitch Pineda every day right now. Every start. As much as I can't believe I'm saying that, but he's, until things change, until his profile changes right now, he's just been too good.
I'm fading Mike Foltynewicz tonight against Bronson Arroyo and the Reds. I know there's maybe a shot that Foltynewicz could get a win, but I'm very scared of that that Reds lineup for Mike Foltynewicz tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I like Folty, but I don't kind of blame you on this one. I like him, but, you know.
Yeah, I think I'm also not going to use Andrew Triggs this weekend.
Another guy I'm not so confident in.
Yeah. I like J.C. Ramirez tonight, though, against Minnesota. I think I might give him a crack. The Roto Experts morning in the next, our next, here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, FNTSY.